Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brains, Bibles, and Beyond, where we explore worldview apologetics.
All the favorite things of the theological world.
And today with me is my co-host, Joel Willoughby, with Brains and Bibles. I, of course, am Nate Day with Think Like Christ Ministries. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about today. That's Joel's job.
That's right.
But why don't you go ahead and grab your favorite theological receptacle.
Aye.
And let's get ready for nap time.
Oh, yeah. Spicy.
All right. So on our first segment today, Joel, Stump the Theologian.
Okay.
We have searched high. We have searched low.
You ready?
And we have found a question that needs to be answered.
Okay.
So today's question,
coming
in from one of our favorite viewers, no names will be given.
Grandma, okay.
Here's the question. How can we see distant stars in a young universe?
Oh, right. Yeah. So the idea is that, counting up the chronology that the Bible gives, you're roughly going to get like 6,000 years. There can be a little give and take there, but it's not going to be like far off of that at all. And so then we see with the technology we have today, we can see light from these stars even that are so many millions,
billions, trillions of light years away. Yeah. However far.
So that's the idea. So then go, wait a minute. So millions of light years.
That means it took like millions of years for the light to get here. That idea, yeah.
So sure.
That's the idea behind the question.
The first consideration is that light year is distance, not time. Okay. So, distance equals time over rate. Simple math equation there. So you can interchange any of those letters in the formula, figure out the other ones. The idea is that distance doesn't necessarily limit time, okay? It depends on the rates. So how fast does it go? A light year is how fast light goes, like in a vacuum. And so how far that goes. Well, there's a lot going on out there in space. And it's not as cut and dry as that. So like, let's say it goes through maybe some gas or something else that we don't even know about out there. It could, things could speed up or slow down. We don't know either way. There's lots of times that we say, hey, that looks really far. This is making it short and simple. There's stuff that looks really far away. And then all of a sudden it goes in front of something else that we thought was really close. So there's so much we don't know. There's so much that we get wrong. We keep readjusting. We're trying to figure it out.
Well, can't gravity adjust the speed of light as well, or bend light and all that stuff? So we don't even know the effects that gravity would have on it.
Yes. I think gravity is a big one. I think gravity seems to be a big one, a big factor there. There's a couple different ways it works out. One thing I would want to say is, like, if we see like an exploding star, I think it actually exploded. And so some people would back it up and they just go, well, God is created that way. But that'd be like deception, like he's showing us light from something that didn't actually exist. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't think that would be the solution to the problem. It could be that he did just create the light to already be that far, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I would be more okay with that. I think that the better answer is that, when he talks about creation in Genesis 1, he separates the water from the water. It's possible, one theory, is it's possible that the outer part of the water was kind of like what went out to create the rest of the universe. We do see there's like 14, 15 verses in scripture that talk about God stretching out the heavens. And we've learned that. We can see that through scientific tools, there we go, that there is a sort of stretching. Like the space seems to be like a fabric, which also adds to we don't understand how light travels through space, There's a lot we don't know. And so it's possible that they were actually a lot closer before. And it could be that that light traveled even faster before. But then as things stretched out and as things changed, it's not a uniform speed or distance or anything like that as things keep moving. So it's possible that it traveled a whole lot easier, a whole lot faster before it already reached us. And so as it gets farther out, it wasn't always that far out. And so but it's a big issue. There's a book called Starlight and Time. That does a lot with that. I haven't read it in forever. It has a few chapters that are like real easy to understand. And then it has like these appendices in the back with like super complicated math formulas and stuff. And so for people that like the simple answer or the complex answer, it has both.
Hmm.
And there's probably newer information out there. It's kind of dated, I guess, but it, sure. it's a good first go, at least. Starlight and Time. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's ask our audience. Did we stump the theologian? Did we get a satisfactory answer? All right. We're getting a thumbs up. We're getting a thumbs up from over there in the peanut gallery.
Which way, though? Stumped? Yeah. No. Okay. No. Okay. I thought it was a yes for stuff. Okay.
Satisfactory answer?
Satisfactory.
Okay. Or not satisfactory. All right. So, okay.
Very good.
So he claims we have a satisfactory answer.
I still have
a job. So we will not claim that a stump, although I don't know if we proved anything.
Yeah. It's a hard one. It basically just is the, you know, theories that we have.
That are unprovable.
It's, well, there is some math involved.
Because
there is
one was there when the stars were created.
I'm not the expert in this field.
I'm not either.
Because you really have to, there's a lot going on there. All right. So
we'll say a satisfactory answer for now. we may be back later with more questions on that. All right, moving on to our next segment.
Okay.
We have a not local news article. This is World of News. This one is from Thessaloniki, Greece. Mm,
okay.
Another AP article. Once again, staying with the AP articles, that makes them all true.
What's the date on this article here?
This date is October 17th, okay. 2024. Mm. All right. In Thessaloniki, Greece, a judge in northern Greece on Thursday imposed a suspended one-month prison sentence on a man convicted of disturbing his neighbors by repeatedly sneaking into their properties to smell their shoes.
Yeah, I saw a guy just today. You wouldn't believe it.
This dude, right after I found this article, I turn over there, and our new producer is sniffing his shoe. And I'm like, what in the world?
So it's not just a Greek thing. Okay.
No, it's not. Right. Okay. The 28-year-old Greek man told the Thessaloniki court that he was unable to explain his behavior, which he said had caused him great embarrassment. Can't imagine why. Sneaking into someone's house and sniffing their shoes. Okay.
It's a slightly
one
insane
thing to sniff your own shoes. When you're sniffing your neighbor's shoes,
sneaking
you
into
now
their house
have a problem.
Even sneaking into their
at
house.
At what point
yeah.
does your addiction need to end? All right. He stressed that he had no intention of breaking the law or harming anyone.
Hmm.
And neighbors testified that he never displayed any sign of aggression during his nocturnal visits.
During his sniffing episodes.
Yeah. The man was arrested before dawn on October 8th in the small town of Sindos. Is I saying that right?
Well, I'm not seeing it. I don't know.
I do not speak Greek. Sindos, we're going to call that. About 15 kilometers, that's 9 miles in American, west of Thessaloniki, police had been called after a neighbor found the defendant in his front yard sniffing his family's shoes, which had been left outdoors to air. They call him in. You can't tempt a guy like that. Just put your shoes outside.
Yeah. I mean, what are they thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you're just asking for it.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Yeah.
It should have been expected.
Yeah, it should have been. So next you're going to have a barbecue outside and expect your neighbors not to come over and sniff it. The court heard that there had been at least 3 similar incidents in the past 6 months, despite neighbors having asked the defendant's family to get him to stop. The man was ordered to attend therapy sessions.
Wow.
There you go. That is our news from Greece today.
That'd be a rough position. And especially for the therapist to have to not laugh when the guy's pouring his heart out about sniffing shoes.
Yeah.
That's a rough one.
I mean, could you imagine walking down, and let's say, okay, yikes. this is thinking this for a minute. Let's say you're sleeping, you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, midnight comes along, stomach's rumbling a little bit, you're like, you know what? I need a snack.
Mm.
Midnight snack. Walk downstairs, open up the refrigerator, you turn around, and there's a guy in your house sniffing your shoes. What'd you do?
It'd probably be more terrifying because I wouldn't understand. I'd be like,
yeah. He had been caught 3 times before this, sniffing people's shoes, sneaking in their home.
I guess wouldn't really pay.
At night.
Caught 3 times before.
Yeah, so somebody was walking downstairs to get a snack, found the guy sniffing their shoes. What would you do?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Man, if you knew the guy.
Yeah, it's different if you know him, I guess. You're not going to threaten his life.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, in America, that'd be very dangerous.
In Texas,
I don't know. I don't know how it is in Greece, but.
Yeah. Well, they can't have firearms.
You wouldn't do that with anyone's, not everyone's house would you sneak into around here.
Yeah.
True. But like, that'd freak you out. Can you imagine turning around and this dude standing in your house?
Yeah, I've never had it happen.
That'd be startling. Yeah. That'd be startling. It's like, you know, everyone gets startled. If you have kids, you get startled awake at night. Like, every once in a while, you wake up and all of a sudden, like, you got a face staring at you. What?
That happens.
Yeah.
Definitely.
A little startling, but.
Too real for me.
You know who it is, though. It's some random dude in the mudroom sniffing your sneakers.
A little different.
Anyway, okay. That is our news from Greece. So, moving on to our next segment. So, Joel, it is now your turn to speak.
Okay.
You have something for us to discuss today. I have no idea what this is.
Okay. So, first, I want you to think about this. If someone were to say, hey, what's heaven like? You know, what do you know about heaven? And you might start to answer, but then they say, wait, I only want to know what's like definitely in the Bible. Like, you know, because we can imagine things, but what's definitely in the Bible?
I can only imagine.
No. Let's not do that.
It's like a trick question, though. Because, like, when someone asks that, the first thing you go to is, like, you start describing the New Jerusalem, right? Like,
That's very common.
Yeah, you know, the streets of gold, blah, blah, all this stuff. That's the first thing your mind goes. So that's really the description that's most prevalent to us. There's other things, but yeah. If you say describe heaven, immediately that's my first thought.
Okay, so that's,
but that's I get probably that a lot. Not what you're looking for.
I get that a lot. When people begin to describe heaven, they would describe the time after Christ's second coming, where he's ruling.
Now, is that Israel. The time after he came in and talked to the Paul, right, Saul?
That's a whole other. Yeah.
Was that the second coming?
We did determine that. there's so much backstory with this, but Christ did come and speak to Paul, Acts 9, road to Damascus there. And so some people, like I would believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, holds that. We both hold that view. And so then someone say, hey, that's, what was it, like the second coming? And then, you know, they make fun of it a little bit. That's a whole other story, though. So then, like, okay, if that's the case, then you have to call second coming Acts 9, you know, with, speaking to Paul.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's it. You shouldn't have brought that up. That's a whole can of worms.
Sorry, that's a distraction.
So they'll either describe that or, you know, so the millennial reign is what we call it. Okay, let's go and say that now.
Sure.
Satan's bound for 1,000 years. Whatever your feelings are about that, it describes this time where Jesus is ruling and things are really awesome. And so they'll say things then, you know, the lion and the lamb lay down together. It's like, okay, well, And so, or New Jerusalem, the new earth, that whole thing.
So we don't know if your dog goes to heaven, but there'll definitely be a lion and a lamb there, right?
That's another.
Although it's not heaven. This is the millennial reign.
So what I challenge people with is like, what does the Bible actually say about heaven? And it's interesting. You can look up all the references. Mm-hmm. You know, what's really nice is if you have a, you know, some Bible software where you can just type in some words, you know, things like that, and just look where they pop up. Makes it really easy.
Yeah.
So I did that. The one that really intrigues me that I really want to focus on for this episode is the heavenly places. Okay. So a few key words I gave a lot of attention to. Every reference where it has the phrase, exact phrase, in heaven. Another exact phrase, in the heavens. And then the other one is the heavenly places. So those three exact phrases, and I'm using the ESV, which there won't be much variation there. You know, between you're going to get the idea is we just want an idea. We don't want an exact. We have an idea. So in heaven, okay, refers every time At least that I'm running. There's it's found 65 times in the Bible, all in the New Testament. Okay, and that exact phrase. Okay, and so then that would be like a real literal place. It's a real place. Every time. So I have three examples. Okay.
Okay.
And so Ephesians 6:9, it says, "Masters, do the same to them." I'm talking about how to treat the servants and stuff. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. That phrase. Okay, so Jesus, specifically referring to Christ, you just say God. You could say God, yeah, general reference. But he's in heaven. So where is he at now? A safe answer is in heaven. That's okay. All right, that's fair. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." That's an interesting thing. Hmm. Our citizenship is in heaven. Citizens of the kingdom, right? That's in heaven. So there's a space. So we've covered that. It's a space. There's a real space.
There's a place. Then. Yes. Okay.
An actual real space that can be gone to. We'll say it that way right now. Okay. Because Jesus went there. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know Jesus is coming from heaven. Okay. He's in heaven. He's going to come down to us later on. All right. Revelation 12, 7 through 9, because it's an interesting one. I just like it. This deserves like a whole episode, really, stuff in Revelation 12. But I'm just going to focus on an idea. So it says, "Now war arose in heaven." There's our phrase, in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. Okay, Satan.
And his angels.
And that's it's clear it's Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Yeah, that phrase. Okay. Hmm. So then what happens? There's no longer any place for them in this space. They're kicked out of the space. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay.
I do agree that this is probably
a whole episode.
A conversation in itself.
Yes, okay. It would be.
So I won't ask questions on
Please
this.
Please don't.
Okay, because that will sidetrack.
Yeah, I know it's fascinating stuff, and it deserves an episode.
And that's a question. One of the questions coming with this specifically is, when did this happen?
All right, we're moving on.
We're moving on. We're aware of these questions. That's okay. All the reason I bring that up.
So there was place before whatever this happened. There was place for Satan and his angels, okay? Until they were defeated at this point, whatever this is, and they were cast out, thrown out. Okay. Thrown down to the earth.
Yeah. They're forced out. Yep. Whatever version you have, we'll say it in some different way, but
yeah. But it's the same idea.
They were removed.
Right. Okay. Now next phrase, I'm just gonna jump. Next phrase in the heavens. I really want to spend the bulk of the time on the heavenly places.
Yeah.
But it helps serve a good setup. So in the heavens, that specific phrase here. Found four times in the Bible, and which is pretty interesting, that exact in the ESV. So then you have, I've just picked a few here. I think this one, I don't remember anyways, maybe it's actually more than that one. There's a couple of them I went back through and I just forgot to change the number. So you can look it up yourself, in the heavens. I can confirm it later in the description. I can do that for you. Lamentations 4:19. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles in the heavens. Okay, so there, you know, it's the skies above. Okay, so it can be a physical location we see, like the skies, or it can be like a spiritual location, such as where your spiritual reward is. Okay, so also Psalm 2:4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. So God, he's in the heavens on his throne. And there's lots of other passages talking about him on his throne, mm-hmm. in heaven. That's a big one. Then Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. That's neat. So, firmly fixed. Okay. In the heavens. Okay, that's interesting. In the heavens. So, by the way,
multiple heavens?
In Hebrew.
Or heaven.
In Hebrew, the word is always plural. Just like skies, heavens, waters. It's always plural. Okay. So whether in English we would have it as singular or plural, it's always plural for them. Which is interesting because, like, you think about the sky, we say the sky, And they would say the skies, you know, technically, but you can't, like, you know, just have like a piece of sky. You know, like this is a singular sky. You know what I mean? So they're not really. We talk that way, but it's like water. You can just keep chopping it up forever, right? It could be plural. Anyways, the idea is that there are like multiple heavens, if you will. As Paul says, I knew a guy that got caught up to the third heaven, right? So first heaven is like where the eagle's flying. You know, it's our air we breathe. This is the atmosphere. Okay. And heaven's a space. And then like the second heaven then, by default, would be like the universe, the physical space that's outside of this. Third heaven then, where this man was caught up to, which we think is Paul himself probably. But then that would be the heaven where God's throne is. That's where that would be. So there's just different spaces.
Okay.
Now does it go out like in big concentric circles? So the earth, the universe, so then outside of the universe then would be this heaven? That's a question that I'm not gonna answer right now, but just putting that in the head. Make it interesting.
Are you going to answer that?
I'm gonna give it an answer for that.
Okay. Or at least I will a solid opinion.
I will, yeah. for what the, yeah. Okay. This is stuff where I welcome argument. I welcome conversation.
Sure.
I'm not, okay. There's this just because my big idea is coming up. Okay. And I might lose some people. We'll see. They might go, forget this. He's off his rocker. All right. Here we go.
If they're still awake.
So definitely the heavenly places.
Okay.
Okay. That quote there. It's only found 5 times in the Bible.
Okay.
It's all in the book of Ephesians. All 5 phrases in the book of Ephesians.
Heavenly places.
That specific English phrase. Because if you were to actually look up that Greek word that would be translated that way, it does pop up in more places, but not a lot.
The New King James also has all 5 in Ephesians.
Yeah, that's a pretty, I'd say it's probably pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
So then that, but that like that heavenly, you know, kind of word there, that's going to pop up a lot more, 19 times total in the New Testament. So then you have other references that I might give a little attention to later. So really cool stuff. Let's go through the Ephesians passages, okay? We're like learning, this is like a study we're doing together, kind of, except I'm doing it fast-paced, rushing through it, okay? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, that's an interesting idea, okay? So he's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, but where? In the heavenly places.
I'm getting attacked by a murder fly.
There's a fly dive bombing you here. It's, I don't know what the deal is. It is. I'm glad it's on you this time. Oh, he's got a salt gun. This is interesting. That, you know what? I thought you nailed him. I saw him fly away. This is where you need to watch the YouTube to understand what's happening. Okay.
All right. I don't know if I'm on camera or not, but
we needed
no more fly buzz in my head.
We should need to let that happen, so.
Okay. All right. Sorry. All right. Distraction.
So the spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, like what does that mean? Have you ever come across that before? Thought about that? You know, and it's okay if you didn't. You know, there's tons of stuff in scripture that we read through we don't really, you know, really consider.
I just assumed it meant heaven, like where Jesus is. I didn't think a whole lot of thought to like where. Okay. Well,
so like, think about this. It says, "With every spiritual, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, okay, in Christ, but in the heavenly places. So not here." There's no blessing. There's no blessing from God here. What does that mean?
Does it mean the blessings come from a heavenly place?
Well, it says they're in the heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess I could. If there's some grammar people out there, we could get really specific with the preposition. But the Greek word is in.
And you are a Greek scholar.
Yeah. So I mean, there's some slight variation there, but I think in as in like location, I think that's the best, the best interpretation. And so like, what does that mean? All right, so let's kind of hold on to that thought.
Okay,
but we're thinking about it. So then Ephesians 1, verse, you know, further down, verse 20 is where it's at. Paul has huge sentences, so it's really hard to just break it up there. So if I just start in verse 19, which is still in the middle of a sentence, it says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Okay.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, that's definitely, because we know where Christ's throne is and where he's seated. That's other scriptures. It's in heaven. Okay. We've already covered that.
This is the heavenly places.
Yeah, this is it. So it's in the heavenly places is a part of that.
Okay.
So that's interesting. And then verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, which is really cool. Okay. So you have this heavenly places. It's, seems to be superior a little bit to our earthly places, you know, so to speak. All right. So
well, that's what it says. It's far above.
Far above.
All the other places.
So the Father, he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and the Father seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So are the heavenly places far above all rule and authority and all that? Or is it referring to
his position?
Christ. Yes. Yeah. So maybe we'll think about that. Well, that's not really my focus today, though. Okay. So Ephesians 2. We'll go to Ephesians 2. Verse 6 is where it's mentioned. And I think a lot of people are kind of familiar with that Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Major passage there. And, you know, so I like to start at verse 4, and I will because it's awesome. I love it. Verses 1 through 3 is all the bad news. And then start at verse 4, but God, you know, big change there. Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, so like that's already happened. Is that interesting? That's already happened. Okay. And raised us up with him and seated us with him. That's past tense. In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that purpose, in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So you're kind of in the heavenly places? What do you think about that? Maybe we could say that's just a positional thing, maybe. In the same sense, you know, Jesus is not just sitting.
Or is it because God's outside of time? To him it is past tense, but to you it's not.
Let me say, we're not sure what God's relationship with time is. Because he does work in it, but he's not bound by it.
Yeah.
But there's nothing clear in scripture that like for sure tells us his relationship with time. Just thought.
Okay.
That's a safe way to answer, you know. Okay. So I think I got some attention here now. It's like, we have to figure this out.
Okay.
This in the heavenly places. It's where Jesus is sat down, a picture of his authority. It's where we're blessed. It's where we've been seated with Christ. Okay. That's interesting. So then we go to Ephesians 3, and the next reference is in verse 10. Mm-hmm. Let's start in verse 8. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So the rulers and authorities there, I do believe that is referencing celestial beings. And I get that from Ephesians 6, which we're going to read as well later. That's the next one. That's the last one. Mm-hmm. So, but I also want to read verse 11 in Ephesians 3, because it says, you know, the purpose of him doing these things that he mentioned in the previous verses, verse 10, so that purpose, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So these rulers and authorities are in these heavenly places. Verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So kind of a neat thing. So the fallen celestial beings in the heavenly places. Now, yeah, that's all I'm going to say there.
I learned some lessons.
This is interesting stuff. I think it's fascinating. I love it.
Yeah.
So then we go to Ephesians 6. And this is, of course, the rough, quick. I hope listeners out there go back and like really study this stuff.
Yeah. This is why you're giving the references.
Yeah. You can have all those. So then, and just, you know, use a concordance or your, you know, whatever electronic means you have, and
blue
you can look up those other words.
Blue Letter Bible is really easy.
Yes.
Just type it in. It gives it to you.
Very good. Yep. There's lots of resources, actually. They're free.
There's a ton of them.
Yep. Okay. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Ephesians 6 is very popular. Okay. And so I don't think I have to do too much for explaining here. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, and here we have, remember I said rulers and authorities before? Mm-hmm. And now it says, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I think you have the most explanation there in Ephesians 6. Which is kind of nice. It went in order that way. And especially now that we've seen all these things, the spiritual forces of evil mm-hmm. that are in the heavenly places. So we definitely know it's a spiritual, you know, thing here that's going on.
Yeah.
It's the spiritual blessing and all that. But then you have Jesus with a physical body that's sitting on a throne, and it says that we're seated there too. Kind of neat. What are your thoughts right now with all this information? What do you think about the heavenly places?
How am I already seated there too? That's one of my questions. Because I'm seated right here, right now.
That's interesting.
Physically.
So, like, we'll think about John 14.
I'm looking at you.
John 14. Jesus says, I'm going to do what? I'm going to go and...
You remember? Prepare a place for me.
Prepare a place for you. Okay.
No, for me.
Yeah. And then, but then he's also, he went up there and he sat down, right? Yeah. The Father. Is he doing both at the same time? What's going on there? So I think I would take the position that seated is a position. That's my standing before him. Kind of ironic to use that word as we're talking about being seated, but my standing before him, it's as good as done.
It's a position. It's like he is ruling on the throne. But that doesn't necessarily mean he only stays on the throne.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? A king has a throne. When you say he's on the throne, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the only place he is.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. That's what you're saying.
I think it's also like in Romans 8, when it has the big five terms, they're all past tense. You know, the same that are called, I forget the order exactly, but I think, you know, justified, foreknown, predestined, glorified, right?
Yeah.
And
clearly I haven't been glorified yet.
I got 4 out of 5 right now.
But but to God, you know.
But I haven't glorified. Yeah. So it's different. So I think we don't understand God's relationship with time. And there's even like with prophecy, like John hops up in heaven in the book of Revelation, and God's shown him stuff, you know. And so that's definitely future. And even with the different views that are out there, it was at least future to him, you know. So,
so
no matter where you land on that, and I think it's still future to us, but that's the idea. And so that's an interesting thing, because I was like real people in real time, but the future mm-hmm. that he saw doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So what does that mean? So here's my I'm going to give you my conclusion, and then I'd like, if you can think of some questions, I'd like you to ask questions about it.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So my conclusion with everything is that the heavenly places is referring to the spiritual realm.
Okay.
And so just to use a more modern term, I'm going to say it is the spiritual dimension. And so we have like angels. They are spirit beings. They're spirits. You could call them interdimensional beings, okay? Because they can pop in and out of these dimensions. So it's like the angel suddenly appears. Fear mm-hmm. not. You know, basically the idea is that the emotions go through the roof. The fear not's like, bring the emotions down. So I can talk to you. You know, it's okay. I'm not here to kill you, kind of a thing. And so then, because, you know, suddenly, all of a sudden, there's this bright figure.
So is that spiritual realm then here? Or is it just everywhere?
I think it's everywhere.
Physical location?
Physical location.
And is there a specific, like, throne room there where God is?
There's a throne. I mean, we see Isaiah 6, Revelation 4. right? There's other places too. I can't think off the top of my head. Ezekiel 1, with the description of the cherubim and all that there, you have at the top of it, there's obviously it's Jesus.
Yeah, right.
You
know, there is a description of the throne room.
Yeah, there's the thrones
and
there
the throne
and all that.
And yeah.
Okay, so there's stuff that it would seem you would kind of see, touch.
There are places in the place. Yeah.
But like even the spirits, like angels, you know, there was the three that came to Abraham. Obviously, one's Jesus. We kind of figure that out later. And then the other two are just, we don't know anything about them, angels. They ate and drank with Abraham.
Jacob's vision of the angels going up the stairway.
Ascending, descending.
Stairway to heaven.
Well.
Right? Going up.
There's some interpretive things there.
Going up, going up and down the stairs. So, where's that at? Like, they're going up, right? Like,
well, okay.
And there's, you know, Jesus ascended up into heaven. Like, if it's just anywhere, couldn't he just disappeared? Like, or was this like he's just doing it for a show to show that, like,
you know what's interesting?
I'm ascending up into heaven just so we'd have something cool to write. Like,
there's some linguistic things with that.
Sure.
So I'd actually rather not handle that right now.
Okay.
Because it would take longer than we will spend on that.
Okay.
So let's not use that reference. There's other references we can use. So then, like, think about like where is it? A door open in heaven. A door was open in heaven. Let's see, where did that go? Let me see. I'm gonna do this.
Hold on, I can find it.
You think so?
I can type.
Let's see.
One-handed.
The doors of heaven. Like a door standing open in heaven.
I can.
Oh yeah.
Type
so Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I, you know, because it's come up here, and I'll show you what must take place. Okay, that whole thing. So, you know,
is it like a portal?
The first word that popped in my head, but that's because of our culture, right?
Yeah,
the things that we've seen and heard. That's
the
not something.
Multiverse.
Yeah. Okay. And so the idea there,
a portal to another dimension.
The idea is that it was opened, and you know,
and
God's in control.
And
of that.
And like. Is it like you're looking up at the sky and this door, like, literally looks
I only
open?
Know what it says. You know, I don't know. Like, even Psalm 78:23, yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. But, you know,
That's
a little different.
Isn't that speaking of the rain?
So,
in that
therefore,
one?
When the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. Heard what? Talking about, you know, the food for his people and stuff. And instead a fire was kindled against Jacob, his anger rose against Israel. Okay. They did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat, and he gave them the rain of heaven. Okay. So that was the idea.
So I was almost right with rain.
He gave food.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, it even says, you know, man ate of the bread of the angels. Okay. He sent them food in abundance.
Well, with Noah, the heavens were open, right?
That's another whole thing with the destruction of the flood.
But that,
right?
But that was not necessarily like heavens open. That was like just the rain pouring down from
the skies, yes,
right?
Yes.
So which
skies?
The skies.
So that's an interesting idea. So like,
but
yeah,
that wasn't necessarily from the spiritual realm, heaven.
Correct.
Although
correct, I don't think it was.
No, yeah,
it was very
no,
physical.
It was caused from them.
God commanded it, right?
The one who commanded was from there. Anyway,
right,
but yeah.
I want to show you.
The rain came physically.
I want to show you another passage here that is kind of like goes towards what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And let's see. I have to find the reference here. There it is. Okay. So Matthew 12. I'm going to spare going into the context for time's sake, but you viewers, listeners can study this. And always, you can always send questions.
Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath.
So
that's Matthew 12.
Matthew 12, verse 43.
Oh,
is where we're starting.
Way down.
Yeah, yeah, way
okay,
down.
Wait,
way
wait,
down.
Wait.
Okay.
When unclean spirit returns. That's the heading I got.
Yep.
Okay.
So when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person,
okay,
so demon possession, and when they go out, it, the unclean spirit, passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Okay, so then there's more. Okay, there's a lot more. I want to focus on that one thing, waterless places. Where could that possibly be? Waterless places.
So does that mean the same thing as dry places?
It specifically says waterless. So,
well, in your version, My version says dry places.
Does that mean
the same thing? I mean, wireless and dry is kind of the same thing.
In a sense.
But that's why I'm asking.
But like, the Greek word is specifically like no water. Okay. No water.
So wireless is a better translation than dry.
Because I think something can be dry, but not completely dry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I want to just clarify.
Yeah. So here's the idea that on the earth.
I go to the NASB, it says wireless.
what air do we have or anything, right? That there's always water. There's always, even if it's very little, there's always some kind of water.
Yeah.
Moisture around.
That was the first thing I thought of. Wireless, well, that can't be the atmosphere because it's full of water.
So a demon comes out of the physical body.
And goes to the spiritual realm.
I think so. The heavenly places.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And that's also lines up with like Ephesians 6 and stuff, right?
When it talks about these forces. I will return to my house from which I came.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what it gets into other stuff. But yeah. That's another cool, fun one that we could talk about sometime.
If it's unoccupied.
All right. So then, in Ephesians 6:12, it's not good. It talks about these rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness.
Sorry, what reference was that?
Ephesians 6:12. One we already read.
Yeah, we were there. Okay.
So it's like you have rulers and authorities. Okay, they are the cosmic powers that are over this present darkness. They are the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see how that works?
So cosmic powers, aliens.
I think that if people that would have a legitimate experience with something they're calling aliens, I go through like six different things that this is possibly. Blah, blah, blah. The last thing on the list I have is demonic forces. Because they're gonna try to distract from the gospel, cause fear and confusion. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, you have these interdimensional spirit beings, you know, kind of a thing, and that's where they mainly dwell. And how do they get out of that? It's possession of bodies is what it seems like. That's when they're not in the waterless places, which I would say is heavenly places. I'd say that's the same thing.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So I understand there could be disagreement with what I've said.
Oh yeah, I understand. And I'm sure there will be.
I get it, but the main thing I like to do with things like this is I'm encouraging Bible study. That's what I want. I want you to go in Scripture and then argue from Scripture with Scripture, that kind of thing.
So if you disagree, the question is why, and what Scriptures are you using to disagree?
And so this is not a hill I'm going to die on.
No,
and it's not like I've done like weeks of study on this either by any means. And so I'm okay with the fact that I said something that wasn't accurate. Okay, I get it. But I think I have enough of a grip that I'm not crazy.
I'm getting what you're saying.
It's just something like, especially when there's other people that have asked me before. I remember this one person in particular, and they're looking at Ephesians 1. They mentioned the heavenly places. They go, "What's that referring to?" And it's just like I'd never thought about it before. And I just like, it's obviously. Let me think about that. it wasn't so obvious anymore. That's the idea.
Sure, once you actually try to like define it.
And you have to make sure it matches up with all Scripture. You can't just look at one verse. So you have to look at all the references. And so either even more references of that heavenly word, like I mentioned before, which is really neat. And so you even have, like in 1 Corinthians 15:40, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. And I do believe that's talking about just like, in our physical universe. So like planets and stuff.
Okay.
Kind of whatever. But it is leading up to the idea of how different the glorified body is from the natural body. That is the idea. And so it goes on about that. Then you have, let's see, we've already gone through those references. What's interesting in like Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. People know this verse. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. It's kind of interesting, everybody in heaven bowing, and it's kind of a cool deal. This place that's full of people and creatures.
So one more question come to mind, and we probably should wrap it up here.
Okay.
So when Christians die, do they go to the heavenly places then with Jesus?
Oh. This is a big point. I'm glad this is really great you said this.
So, when grandma dies, she goes to heaven. Well, that's what we all say. Okay. She went to heaven, right?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Okay, so
And is that an accurate statement?
Firstly, I would say, you know, we have this idea, you know, where's heaven? Yes, a child. Where's heaven? Point up. Where's right. hell? They point down. Okay. Right. Okay. That's an interesting idea. And there's some truth there because of the wording of scripture.
Yeah.
There's a reference,
Jesus ascended to heaven, you know, there's a lot of this staircase to heaven, you know, those things like, yeah. you know, we're going to build a tower to heaven, right?
Yes, yes.
So the physical place above us, that represents it, sure, in our mind. So even if that's not physically where it is, that's what we think of, sure.
You think about like, you know, 99.9 with a bunch of like billions of nines after it, percent of all existence. Would be outside of the earth. You know what I mean? So it's very, I think that's accurate. I think it's a spiritual dimension that's like all through earth, but why would all the throne and stuff be, you know, it would make sense. It would have, there's lots of space.
Sure.
It'd be somewhere else. What we want to see as we go through this study, we look at all the references of heaven, heavens, heavenly, all these different things. The big focus is not that we are in heaven. The big focus, scripture goes on about over and over and over again, is we are with Christ. We are in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's all about. And so, yes, it's going to be heaven. Yes. But what do we know about that? So very little. So very little. You say, what's going to be in heaven? Christ. I'll tell you that. What else matters? You know?
Yeah, right.
That's really the key.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get to be with Christ.
And that's why the Bible just goes on and on about it. About, you know, the Father's there. The Son is there. You know, these sort of things. You get to be with them. That's what eternal life is all about, you know? And so who cares what other recreational activities there? You know, you're not getting a Parks and Rec guide. For heaven here, you know, trying to get your attention and, you know, maybe I won't be bored, you know,
right. Yeah.
That's not the issue. And so, yeah, I think it's safe to say in heaven, that's a very general reference,
mm-hmm.
very general. So, you know, it's like, where do you live in the universe? Okay. That's a big place, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of like that, I think.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's tons of these references in Hebrews, though, which is that same word for, you know, heavenly. In Hebrews, I'm looking at it right now, six references of that exact Greek word there. And that's when you have some more interesting things here. So like Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. So it's that spiritual calling, right? Sure. That's sort of an idea. Even, you know, 2 Timothy 4:18 says, yeah, his heavenly kingdom. So it's referring to that kingdom that is of heaven.
Yeah.
That's sort of idea.
The kingdom of heaven, yeah.
But then, so then you go through Hebrews 8:5, talking about the heavenly things, the law and all that. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. That's an interesting idea. What heavenly things are these? That's really, really cool. And it really focuses on worship. That's what heavenly things are focused on, is worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once again, heavenly things again in Hebrews 9:23. And then there's only two more references. Hebrews 11:16. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one, you know, a heavenly country. Mm-hmm. It says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. You know, a city that kind of sounds like New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
As he prepares a place for you, even, and there's this New Jerusalem city, and I think that kind of makes sense.
Which is being built in heaven right now, right?
And it will come down from heaven.
Yep. So once again, something above us.
Yes, yes.
And
so we already had, you know, God's throne always, and his throne is in New Jerusalem as well. So it's kind of interesting how that might work. Then Hebrews 12:22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Which is really interesting, and to innumerable angels and festival gathering, yada yada. Yeah. So I just want to say all that quickly. I'm not explaining everything. Actually, most things I'm not. And because I want to encourage Bible study. I want that to happen. And I like intriguing things like this because it can get you lured into Bible study, and then you'll end up loving it.
Well, and there's enough little questions amongst this,
yes,
too,
yes,
that you can get sidetracked off in there.
Oh, which is so much fun stuff.
It's always good to have a little rabbit trail now and then.
Yes.
So it's great. There's a few different good ones. Yeah. I will not ask because
got you thinking, huh?
Yeah. Because you don't have time. So awesome. Well, that sounds good. So heaven is a real place, and grandma's there.
And it's the spiritual dimension.
And I'm there, and you're there.
What's interesting is even like Satan and his fallen angels, they had residency in heaven.
They were there.
They had residency in heaven. Now they're still in the spiritual realm, but they don't have residency. We do. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now I can have a citizenship in America, and I can go travel to Portugal, right? I still have citizenship there, you know, in America.
Okay, okay.
So we may not be in heaven, but our citizenship is in there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying there.
Just kind of putting out another little idea to help us connect some dots.
Yeah. I think this a study of Satan and his fall and all that would be a good conversation at some point.
Revelation 12? That would be
a good conversation. Because
I enjoy that chapter.
You know, especially when you throw in like stuff from Job about, you know, Satan, you know, talking to God.
And that would be probably a different episode.
Yeah, because there's some stuff there about like where's Satan hanging out these days and when was he kicked out of heaven.
He's roaming to and fro.
And when was, you know, all that. So anyway, there's a lot of conversation on that. And some of it's kind of fun and interesting. Once again, of course, that's not a salvation issue by any means, but they're worth discussion.
It is. And just so we're careful not to, you know, glorify someone like Satan, right? Because that can accidentally happen sometimes. Sure. So I just make a point that the only reason I love to build up Satan to show how wonderful he is, first off, God did make a wonderful creation. He really did. But then the other part is to show how great God is. Because if you show how great Satan is and then see how easily God defeats him, it only magnifies how much greater God is.
Sure.
You know? And so that's the only reasons I'd like to point out the interesting things about him. But it's also interesting how little the Bible talks about him, because it's not a big deal. He's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because to God, he's just nothing.
To God, not much is big, right?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I think that about wraps it up.
It's good stuff.
Nice and good. Heavenly places. Do some study, do some research.
The spiritual realm.
Dig into it a little bit. It's worth studying a little bit. The heavenly places, the spiritual realm.
Oh yeah.
Where do you think it is? Feel free to give some comments. I'm sure everybody's got some opinions on this, and we'd love to hear it.
Sure.
And maybe you could be a lucky listener who gets a comment read on the air someday.
Ooh.
Most likely not, but you can give it a try. Anyway.
It's an emotional roller coaster there.
Yeah. I'm just trying to give it and smash it. All right. So anyway, we are wrapping up for today. I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next time.
See ya.